young man stopped me today. I don't even recall his name. You know, I'm getting so I can't recall all the names. He said to me, he said, "I've been wondering what keeps you going." And afterwards, I thought about it myself. What is it that keeps people who have been going a long time, as I have, trying to keep going? I think one of the things that keeps one going is a faith in human beings. Basically, I believe human beings want to live in a decent world. Basically, I believe that the young people of today really are out to create that kind of world. And if I didn't believe that, there would be no virtue in my living, because I cannot see any virtue, even in using one's creative instinct, creative capacities. If we cannot create a world in which people can live, then we haven't done anything. When I was much younger, I used to make speeches that were much better rounded. And one of them had to do with this subject, that to penetrate the mystery of life and to perfect the mastery of life were the twin goals of great living. At that time, and I suppose I could still say now, we have done much in the direction of penetrating the mystery of life. All of this equipment we have around us is a part of the penetration of the mystery of life. And when we hear the Telstar and all of the marvelous things of science, the computer machines and all of these things, this is part of the penetration of the mystery of life. But where we have failed, and failed so woefully, is the perfection of the mastery of life. And there can be no perfection of the mastery of life until we have learned that human beings are human beings worthy of the dignity and respect wherever they are, irrespective of who they are. And as Jim Baldwin pointed out today, what we think of others, we can so easily become. And this is a danger for us when we look at these irrational people and we know they are irrational. When we see, as I happen to have seen of the first, about the 31st of October, four young white men who trailed us from Natchez, Mississippi to Port Gibson, and then jumped out of the car and vented their spleen on Bruce Payne, a young graduate student at Yale University. Why did they find it necessary to do this? Why do they find it necessary to take out their venom on somebody else? Because somewhere, somehow, they have been fooled. And you and I know a great deal of why they have been fooled. And they have been fooled and made to feel that they had something of value in being white. And then deep down inside of them, they knew this was not true. That they knew that just being white was not enough. And so they are confused and they don't know where to turn. And so when we gaze upon these people, we gaze upon them not because we gaze upon them not with a sense of despising them or even rejecting them or being overcritical of them, but being understanding of what has made them into what they are. And part of our task, as I see it, is to help them to see that they can be something other than that. And I don't know whether it comes through nonviolence or not, but it certainly comes through an understanding of your own value so that you do not feel necessary to lord it over somebody else just because you have the opportunity to do so. These things may be very elementary, but I think they have basic to what we become and how well we carry the torch that has been handed to us. I am glad to see so many people in SNCC that I don't know them, but I do hope that whoever we are and wherever we are, that we will continue to think in terms of the fact that what we do in SNCC is not for the development of SNCC as a big, powerful organization, nor for getting headlines, but we do this because we believe that it is necessary to change the political and social system of Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, and yes, to change the political and social system in respect to the entire country, so that when we say we have a democratic country and when we claim that we are of a nation for the people and by the people, that it will truly be a people's nation and a people's government. And this can only be if the people themselves understand how valuable they are and understand what it takes to become a nation of the people, for the people, and by the people. And we have the opportunity to help the people understand this and understand it in a way and in a depth that we perhaps haven't even begun to find the final depth for. But I think this is an opportunity, and I'm glad that I'm here tonight. The 3 years from 60 to 63 out of my 50-odd years seems to me to be the best years of my life. I hope I have three more to be with you.
Pearlham, meet Bill Mahoney behind the auditorium. I said, watch it, Bill. But I said when I introduced Miss Baker that would be my last word, but she brought to my mind something that I had seriously omitted. And that was the fact that out of the McComb situation, a young lady did spend 6 or 7 months in jail, perhaps just a little bit longer time than the people spent in America, Georgia. And she is, in many ways, sort of an inspiration to all of us. Some of us may not know much about her, but perhaps in a few minutes she could tell us something about herself. Miss Brenda Travis. Come on up. Come on up. Come on, Brenda. Brenda. Come on. Embarrassed, so I'll tell you some of the things that happened to her. She was put in jail in Macomb for sitting in at the Greyhound bus station, and on the southern, typical southern justice, she was put to, or rather sent to a reform school because she was a juvenile. She spent some 6 months in that reform school. Efforts finally got her out. She's now in Chicago, winding up, I don't know, Education High School, is that it? I think she's graduating this June, and it certainly was a relief to all of us who had to bear her imprisonment, because she was imprisoned primarily because of what all of us did in Macomb, Mississippi. And it's with a great deal of pride, I suppose, that we present to you Brenda Travis. Go ahead, please.
Imagine that most of you have heard what happened to me, so therefore I really don't see any need to go over it again. I mean, you've read it in the paper and stuff like that, so I'll let someone else come and talk with you who has something that's much more important and current than, you know, what I have to say.
My final words are that there will be a group of people coming to you tonight called the Freedom Singers. I think we ought to pause for a moment, and, you know, people don't like to talk about themselves, so maybe, you know, I'll take this opportunity to tell you what these people have been doing. They have been traveling across this nation in a station wagon, communicating to people all over the North and in the South the songs of the movement. They've been telling your story. And this has touched the hearts of many people in this nation. Now, one of them is not here tonight, Bernice Regan. She's, that was the other marriage I was thinking of today. Yeah, Cordell and Bernice got married. And she's pregnant, and she will be with us as soon as the, baby's born. I don't know much about this matrimony. sort of get all tied up and stuff. But anyway, when they come to you, we should understand that they also come out of Southwest Georgia. They came out of the soil. Ruther Harris is sitting up on the right. Chuck Neblett is here from Southern Illinois. Cordell is here. They'll no doubt bring up some other people to join them tonight. But they have made a tremendous contribution to the movement, not only in terms of explaining to people what has happened in the South, but also in making possible for us to survive down in the field. And there's been a constant hassle with the Freedom Singers. And that hassle is we want to get out into the field. We tired of all these northern white liberals. They don't understand. And I know how it is because Prathia Hall is out there. She's been on Goodwill tour out in Iowa and Nebraska. And it's just like Mississippi in some places. But I suppose that we have to sort of move all of these people. And certainly I'm sure that everybody within SNCC would vote a vote of confidence for the Freedom Singers and would hope that they would continue to do this. They have just published a record, which is, I'm sorry we don't have copies of that record, but it's been released by the Mercury Recording Company. They have signed a contract with Mercury, and many of the songs of the movement are now going to be distributed in mass. Also floating around here tonight are a few copies of a songbook which is being published, written by Guy and Candy Carawan for the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. We will get you copies of those songbooks plus the record. The record's a very fine record. So to the Freedom Singers, we will say, sing on, and that's where I leave. Thank you.
Whenever there is something that somebody is constantly trying to keep you from getting a hold of, it must be very valuable. And there are three or four things that certain people of this country are trying to keep certain other people of the nation from getting a hold of. And one of them is the vote. It certainly is an important thing. And they know what it means. They know how valuable it is. They know how much it can be used to change the whole political picture. We have in our midst tonight a person who has made an attempt to use the ballot in the state of Mississippi. And, of course, cruelty followed. She had to leave the farm where she was. Put out, run away, sent away. The singers from Danville are not here. So in the space that they were to use, or at least a part of it, we're going to ask Mrs. Fannie Lou Hamer. Hamer, is it? Hamer or Hamer?
Hamer.
Hamer. If she will come down and tell us a bit of her story.
Very kindly, but I would like to ask Mr. Samuel Block and Mr. Willie Peacock to come up to help me sing a little. And if you're curious to know some of the things that happened to me, it was on the 31st of August in 62 that I tried to become a first-class citizen. I was fired that same day, but as some of the workers know in Mississippi, we have been dying gradually, we have been hung, and we have been hungry. And I would like to say for SNCC, they have done a wonderful job in bringing food down in the state of Mississippi because it helped me to exist through last winter. So I've never been satisfied with the system. And God keep me going from day to day because I was from a family, I'm the 20th child, and people talk about depression in 1930. I remember depression 40 years ago. People was talking about what the panic done to them in 1930. It had been working on us in Mississippi in 20. And we are tired because we have been just dying gradually. So now we want something better. And I'm not working for equal right with the white man in Mississippi because what he got, he stole it from me. democracy. I want something that's built up from truth and righteousness that I won't have to shoot at the next man because he's trying to get it. We're going to try to do a number. Come by here. And after the tempo pick up, we want everybody in this building to sing. Come by here, Lord. Come by here. Come by here, Lord. Come by here. Come by here.
If you were sitting where I have been sitting and observed the complexion of this audience and witnessed the fact that there is youth upon the faces of so many of us, that you certainly would feel hopeful. There will certainly be a change in this country in the years ahead, because you represent the people who the strata of people, especially when it comes to age, that's going to run this country in the immediate future. You're going to have a new philosophy about life. Before we have the next number, I want to make an inquiry. How many persons here who are not actually members of this movement? How many adult persons here who've come tonight because you were interested and because you wanted to see and hear what was going on? Will you do us the kindness of, oh, that's fine, that's fine. Thank you so much. Now, I wasn't setting a trap for you. Not that. I don't want you to think that, but I was just whispered to and asked on this program, you see, it has here offering. And somebody said to me, everybody here is a student. There's no need of asking for any money here because students don't have any money. But everybody here is not a student. And certainly you are putting a lot in it, and some of us are not, I found out. I want to ask, we've got to have some money. There's got to be some money in this. It just can't go on without some money. And I want to ask if there's anybody here tonight that's willing to make a little sacrifice, make a gift. Maybe you can't get on the path like these young people and go to jail and march and do all of these things, but you can inspire them and help them and give them, see that they have something to eat or something to encourage them. How many persons here tonight that will give a $10 bill that'll give $10 to help this thing go? I've got a $10 bill. Has anybody else here got one? All right, don't run out now, because you've got to have a good program. All right, there's one. Has anybody else here got one? That's two. Has anybody else here got one? All right, that's three. Has anybody else got one? That's four. There ought to be another. Has somebody else got one? You wouldn't think there was $50 here, would you? Sure, there's another one. That's five. Now, just for good measure, is there a sixth person? Not six. Oh, there's another one. That's six. Stand right down there and take mine and bring those other five, the other four. You stand right there and put it on the table. Is there seven? There ought to be 10 persons here. As one? That's seven. Go get it, will you? Freedom, that's the way to get it. Is there eight here? The eighth one? Is there one more? As one up, it stands. Eight. Eight. What about nine? There's another one. Nine. Somebody get up and help, because it might get away. Somebody get up and go down and get them. Might get away. Might change their mind. Now, nine is a ten. What about the tenth? What about ten? Ten. Oh, surely there's just. There's another one. All right, see how many you got down there. Have you got those 10 down there? Have you got 10? Keep up with them. Here's another. Here is another. How many 10s you got down there now? 11, I think. Is there another? Yeah, he held up his hand. Here is. This is $25. Have we got all of those $10? Is there anybody else? $10. $10. How many tens you got on there? Nine? And you got the 25. That's 10. That's 10. Was there another? I thought there were 11. All right. How many persons here has got $5 for freedom tonight? There's one. There's a hand back there. Run and get it. Run and somebody get it. Bring it up to me, somebody. That's five. That's one. There's another. Somebody bring it. That's two. Is there another? $5. There's one, two in the back there. Way on back. That's four. Five. Six. Is there a six one? $5. $5. Was that hand? Did we get the $5 right through here? Five. There ought to be 10 persons here that's got $5. That for freedom tonight. Here comes one. Bring that, look behind you there. There's one behind you. I think I... Thank you. This is $100. Dollars for freedom. What about another $5? There's one right down the aisle, man. Pick it up. All right, I beat that seven. There's another one there. Two right over there in the center. Eight, nine. Put it down there. Nine. And there's another. Ten. Is there another? $5 for freedom is another one. This is important. There's another. That's 11, I think. Is there another $5? Another $5. Another $5. Here's a check. It may be more than $5. Let me see it.
It's five.
Oh, it's five. Thank you so very much. $5. Thank you. There's another $5. $5. Keep up with them there, brother. Can you count well? I don't know if I got them all down here. Is there another $5? All right. How many here got a dollar for freedom? How many dollars for freedom? Hands up. It'll take a whole lot of people to gather these dollars. Give me a lady over here and go down and get the dollars in that aisle. Give me some of you girls go down and get those dollars. I think that's fine. All right. What about it up in the gallery? Fine, fine. All right. There are two or three coming down. What about this side? And in the gallery there, no dollars up there? Dollars for freedom. There, the hands are up there. That's right. There's another dollar right in front. There's another. Dollars for freedom. Hands up. Another dollar for freedom. $20 for freedom came down. Thank you, baby. Any more dollars? $5 for freedom. times another. There are two more dollars for freedom. There's another dollar for freedom. That's right, count them up then. Let's see how we're getting along. That's fine. Let's see how we're getting along. Hey, are you ready to report? What is this one?
195 we have, I know. 195 plus your check.
Oh, that's 295. Wait, three? That's $3 more.
$100? No, it's just a dollar.
Just a dollar. Oh, thank you. What is this for?
Someone brought it up.
Here are $50. And it's from Miss Catherine Powell. $50. There's $50, Dad. What you got down there? Who said there was no money here for freedom tonight? There's some more good program coming up, and just as quick as these financiers can tell us. I thought maybe we'd need a few dollars to make it even. How are you coming?
I think we have it here.
Huh?
Looks as if you have 336.
Some of us, you know, we're not used to counting too much money, you know, and we get confused when too much gets around. Put that down so you won't get confused. And did you count the 50 in there? Give me $14. Aren't there 14 more dollars here? Anybody, everybody's given a can. $14 more? Huh? Can we get $14 more? All right, I don't want to take too much of your time, but we could sure say it well if you had $14. There comes the dollar. $14 would make us have, here's another dollar. Oh no. $14 would make us have $450. I'll keep that separately so we won't get mixed up. Here are some coming up. Come on, put it separate out there. Count it out for yourself. There's some right there, hand right there. Reach right over there and get that right in front of you. See the hand up there? Quarter, quarter. You financiers, look right ahead of you. Look ahead of you. Thank you. Mr. Ford, $1. We've got three of those dollars. Well, come on, let's get the four if we can't get the... Oh, there's some hands. Go, run on down there, somebody, and get the money. A lot of hands up. Go down the aisle there, will you? That's right. Pick up, there's some. A lot of hands up there. Oh, we're going to get it. Bring me that you got there so we can be counting it, please. Bring us your tray, will you? Bring your tray and then go back and get the other so we can be counting. Give him that and then go back and get the other. Count it right there. There are two more $5. That's $10. We're going to get it. Don't mix it, please. Keep it over there. Keep it over there.
Reverend Harrison has to go marry someone, but we certainly thank the little marriage he just made here. We're going to have the Danville Four up. We'd like for Ralph Allen, John Perdue, Donald Harris. America's Four, or all the people who've been in jail in America's to come up. But we certainly want to single out those people. I think it's Sally Mae Durham here. We want to sing out those guys who, for the first time in history of the Civil Rights Movement, had to spend 85 days in jail without bond. Now, not too many of us have spent 85 days in jail with bond. And they have spent 85 days in jail unable to get out. So will they come forward, please? Don Harris, Ralph Allen, John Perdue, and others from America's that they would like to bring up with them. Okay? Where's Ralph? Don Harris? Where's Don Harris? Where's Don Harris? Where is he? Will somebody please go out there and get Don Harris? He may be standing out there in the hall. Will somebody go get him? But I think that they ought to tell us something about what it was like down there in jail and whatever else they would like to tell us.
You know, I really shouldn't be up here speaking because my 85 days in jail don't really compare to the years, lifetimes, short and long, that the millions of blacks in the South have spent in a veritable prison. And I was in a pretty good, we were in a pretty good jail, as it was. Food was decent, more or less. We weren't allowed any visitors, but the jail was clean, at least. It was a lot better than the Terrell County and Lee County prison camps, where kids as young as 12 and 13 were sleeping on concrete floors without blankets, without toilet facilities, drinking water from a leaky shower head. As an overflow in the crowd that were arrested during the 9 days after we were picked up, I can really not honestly pose as someone who's made a great sacrifice. For what really happened, of course, was that I and Ralph and Don and the other 150, 175 people who were out on the street corners that night, August 8th, were doing what thousands, tens of thousands of Negroes and whites handful of whites have done in the South for the last few years since the civil rights movement really got into the demonstration stage. But the difference was a group of men, officials of the government, elected by the whites, and the handful of blacks who can vote in Sumter County, that's of which Americus is a seat, who decided that they'd try some funny business. And without any regard for the long-held and respected principles of justice, that is, that a person should be charged with something, with a crime, only if there seems to be some credible evidence pertaining to the charge, they decided to, as they admitted, hold us in jail without bond. That was their goal, and then they looked around for a law with which they could do that. It seems incredible. It seemed very unreal to me, and I know it seemed unreal to Don and Ralph and Zev Eleni, a core worker who was later picked up and charged with the same thing, inciting to insurrection. That's a compliment, really, because they admit we're political prisoners, finally, instead of merely criminals. I know that we felt this was very unreal, and though we read in books and newspapers about the cruelties in the South, it's a little hard to believe that, who, me? An insurrectionist facing a capital crime? It just doesn't seem real. But it wasn't really that hard to go 85 days. I just want to make the point that right now, the conscience of the North, such as it is, the structure of the news media, is such that in order for there to be really comprehensive coverage and a lot of noise made about some atrocity down in the South, you have to have a Northerner going down there who doesn't really have any responsibility to the community, who's going down for reasons of his own, and going to jail. I can go back north anytime I want to. I don't have to live in the poverty and the oppression that millions of blacks do in the South. But you have to have a Northerner going down there and spending some time in jail to get publicity. And of course, that shouldn't be so. Now, without having been responsible for any of this that happened, you see, just being picked up and arrested, and then the Solicitor General did it all, I think this case has set a precedent, a legal precedent, which will be very useful for the civil rights movement. That is, that a federal court intervened in a state proceeding in which counsels for the victims contended that there was deprivation of civil rights. And, of course, the two laws, unlawful assembly and inciting insurrection, were overthrown. The court threw out a bunch of peace bonds, which were becoming fashionable. Peace bond has the effect of saying, well, I testify that so-and-so is a threat to my safety, and so the agents, law officers, go out and arrest the person for, hold him for ransom, really. We each had eight of these against us. This, the court threw out just like that, set reasonable bond. This shows that sometimes, if you're lucky, if you get the right judge in a southern district court, southern circuit, you can get some help. about the courts, the state courts in Georgia. About half of the judges in the circuit, Fifth Circuit, federal judges, including some appointed by Kennedy, are consistently unfavorable to the civil rights cause. So it's kind of a half-half victory. It can be done, but we can't always expect it to be done. I just want to say that one of their biggest bombs has now been defused. I hope this will show them that it's really senseless to try to use this legal terror, and that nothing really can stop this movement. I've been working down in America, so I'm going down after this conference is over. They can't scare us. They can't stop us. We'll keep going on.
Is Don Harris in the house yet? Well, he's now going to ask the Freedom Singers to come down, Cordell, Ruther, Chuck, whoever else is coming.